He's here.
Who?
The Batman.
The things they say about him. Can he fly?
I told you, he's flying on rooftops.
Where are you?
Here.
Ah!
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 28th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by Edge Guy.
Hey.
And David Sore Guy Wynn.
Hi.
The guy who's so full of Wynn, it's his last name.
Yeah. Except it's two N's, so I think I'm David Fail.
No, that's even more Wynn.
Oh, so, good.
I guess. All right, anyways. Hi, everyone. This is the Exploding Barrel Podcast, like I, you know, already said in the 1 minute you've been listening. We've got a great show today. I'm assuming. I haven't seen much of it. AJ probably did most of the prep work, and he's in Pittsburgh. You would probably know how the quality of our show is going to be already. How is it going to be, AJ?
It should be pretty good.
Would you listen to it?
I figure if we make this show suck, then when we have our 100th episode next week, it'll be amazing.
All right. No, but this will be a good show too, right?
Of course.
I'll drag it down for you.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Dave. They're always good. All right, well, we'll start with your news. Then we'll move on to the Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz, once again themed on past Exploding Barrel episodes and trivia. Then I think I'm going to make Dave talk a little bit about some obscure games, because he loves sending me these emails, and I love reading them.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Oh, they are. Oh, there's a cat outside my window. He's climbing things.
Focus.
I'm not easily distracted. Well, can I just wait till the cat's gone at least?
Okay, no.
I can't see the cat anymore. Spock. I already named the cat Spock. Sarek. No.
You named...
Dang it,
Romulus. That's good.
That's
Romulus.
What I named my that's what I named my hamster in Professor Layton.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I named that cat the two names I had already given cats.
You mean that was on purpose?
No, I was just like, first name,
oh, brother.
Spock. I need another Star Trek name, Sarek. Dang it. All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah, then we're going to talk about our week in gaming, Batman, Dissidia. It'll be a lot of fun. Then we'll talk about the game releases of the week, and that's going to be the show. So, get started, Edgar.
Okay. All right, let's start it off with another AJ Was Right story.
I'll be the judge of this.
Effective Friday. As everyone pretty much predicted, the Xbox 360 price drops are official.
I love it how Ads Guys Right is always just you reporting on everyone else's rumors.
No, this is where I was right. And this is something I actually did intuit.
Infer.
How do you infer? Thank you. I was going to say, how do you verbalize intuition? Okay, the remaining Pro consoles, which are actually already out of production, will in fact go down to $250 until they are off the market. Elites are down to $299. Of course, these are, like we talked about, the Elites with no HDMI or component cables. Although, I presume that if the old Elites are still in the channel, they will also have gone down to $299. So if you grab one of those, good for you. Of course, Microsoft, because they can't just shut up, had to put some spin on why there aren't any cables. So, for Microsoft's VP of Interactive Entertainment Business in Europe, Chris Lewis tells GI.biz that the removal of the HDMI cable from the Elites was to enable, quote, flexibility to consumers who can then decide which type of cable they want for their specific gaming and TV screen setup, end quote.
That's pretty
I think
funny.
Flexibility is just giving them all of them and letting them pick one,
it's,
but, you know.
It's like the opposite of that's not flexibility.
It's like, can't you just either not say anything and be like, we did this to save money. Like, we understand, that's why you're doing it, we know.
Just doesn't say mean it's right, a better price for the consumer. He can figure it out if he really wants it, rather than, you know, trying to say, oh, well, we're giving you more options, except, you know, you can still use those HDMI cables on older TVs.
AJ, I'm proud of you. You're running this like it's a Sony story.
See? You always say I'm one side. I don't know. In fact, I'll still continue to rant about this whole Xbox 360 arcade unit going up 20 pounds in Britain. Because I don't know, here's my thing. They say that they can do this price drop because the price of the console is cheaper to make. So, if you could afford a price drop in America, and you're not going to do a price drop in Europe, why not just leave it the same and pretend to yourself that was a price drop? Like, no one would care. I think Europe's used to getting kind of screwed, but this is, like, really screwing Europe.
It's pretty massive.
Like to see a price drop in America and not one in Europe, like, ah, foiled again. But, you know.
Foiled again. But, yeah, I don't even know what to say to them. I just feel bad for them at this point.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
It's just the arcades going up. You shouldn't be buying an arcade anyway. So.
Yeah, I guess not. But it's a principled thing. There was some funny, stupid Sony quote earlier in the week. I can't even remember now.
Do you mean how they're talking about how they're going to market the PlayStation 3 as more than a gaming machine, which is what they were doing at first, but then they said they need to stop doing that because they need to emphasize that it is a gaming machine, but now they're apparently going back to the first one without acknowledging it?
I don't even know if that's it, but there's something else.
Well, they are. This is their new marketing message. It is apparently going to be the most expensive ad campaign that they've run since the launch of the PlayStation 3. The campaign will begin on September 1st. I will say, though, I saw the two commercials online. They're actually really funny.
Man, their ad campaign for the PS3 launch was so hilariously bad. Remember it was all in, like, that white room with the crying baby?
The crying baby.
No, these ones are actually hilarious. You know the guy in the MLB 09, the show, commercials?
That's where, like, Pedroia?
Not Pedroia. The guy who he was, like, from Sony that he was calling to complain to.
Okay.
It's that guy. It's that guy again doing stuff. And he's actually pretty funny. So.
Okay.
You should go on YouTube and watch the ads. It boggles my mind how, like, they're so proud of this new idea they had when this is what they were doing at first, and they switched out of it because they were getting criticized for, you know, not focusing on the gaming aspect of their gaming console.
I am glad they changed the logo and stuff. It's not that Spider-Man font. Ugh. And I also like how they had that very practical reason. Like, we had to change it to just PS3 because when you spelled out PlayStation 3, it was really small, and the Xbox logo looks bigger on commercials.
Yeah, because threes are bigger than twos.
I guess so.
They only just now realized that the word PlayStation's really long.
I didn't know that the proper way to type PlayStation 3 before was in all caps.
Yeah, they did change that.
Yeah, like, it's like you guys can just capitalize the P and the S again. Well, thank you, Sony. It's nice of you.
Just excited.
Like, it's like how Cliffy B doesn't want to be called Cliffy B anymore.
He's the artist formerly known as.
Yes.
I had a friend come to me the other day. He was like, I was at GameStop and they told me that there's a new PS3 coming out. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's only $120. I'm like, that's not true. He's like, no, that's what they told me. I'm like, yeah, I mean... I'm telling you, it's not true. Like, no. He's like, what a
I'm pretty sure you were lied to.
I'm pretty sure they bet 120 gigs, or you misheard them. His name rhymes with yours.
I thought so.
That's just for you. All right.
Okay, now that we're done with the inside jokes.
It was
here,
Madge
David,
guy.
Okay. I imagine you'll have a... Oh, that didn't even make sense. Okay.
I had a very unfortunate time in elementary school.
All right, Dave, I imagine you'll have something to chime in with this. The Police Knots localization has been released.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yes!
You've been playing it?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. How do you go about getting this?
Internet.
Or I mean, like, do you get, like, the PC version of the game or something?
No, it's... It was released for Japanese PCs, but you can't really emulate that. They translated the PlayStation 1 version only.
Oh, and then just run it through a PlayStation emulator?
Yeah. Oddly enough, okay. The PS1 version is, like, one of the four games I can think of that actually supports that damn PS1 mouse peripheral.
Oh, handy.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird, but it works.
So cool.
I'll talk
about
that.
So are you going to talk about that later?
Yeah, but it is really good.
Cool. I'm excited to hear about that, actually. All right, one last little blip from BlizzCon. We didn't get, like, any kind of big end-of-show announcement like I thought we might have, which is kind of disappointing.
No,
but we did learn
at the beginning.
Yeah, we did learn that Trisha Helfer of Battlestar Galactica and, what's the other game she's going to be in? Oh, Halo, 3DO ODST. It was also going to be the new voice of Kerrigan in StarCraft 2.
All right, help me out. Who is she in Battlestar?
The evil Cylon in the red dress that's on the pictures for everything.
Oh, the hot one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The underwear model.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically, the Battlestar 7 of 9.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I approve.
So first there were rumors that a new DLC was coming to Mass Effect. Then the rumors that it was going to be called Pinnacle Station. That would be combat-based. Then it was released. But it's still never been actually announced. But it's out.
Whoops.
It's out.
Yeah. $5 for the Mass Effect Pinnacle Station DLC, but I don't understand. This is like what the last Fable 2 DLC did. It's like combat-focused, which I think Mass Effect is a fantastic game, but combat and squad AI are probably two of its weaker components, and that's all this is.
Yeah. And that's also, there was a 1UP article that was, there was a piece on one of their blogs that was just saying exactly that. It's like, why would you do this? Why would you focus on the worst parts of the game?
Well, because that's easier to make.
I guess.
It's only $5 if you really want more Mass Effect. Although, apparently it's got some kind of issues with it, the same that the last DLC they released did, too. Because they didn't really build the game very well to support DLC, because it's kind of like the Fallout 3 the way it used to be, where the game ends, so you can't really go back, and but you have to get to a certain point before you can access it, and it confuses people. Right. Alright, time to get sad. After seeing the teaser trailer like a year ago, it would seem that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is on hold, according to a Twitter from a Ubisoft employee.
Welcome like to development hell.
Yeah.
I imagine someone was like, I feel like the president of Ubisoft, like, didn't really know what, like, Beyond Good and Evil was. Like, we want to make a sequel of Beyond Good and Evil. Like, yeah, okay, sure, go, whatever. They caught him in a good mood. Then he's like, what's Beyond Good and Evil? Then he, like, finally looked up, like, the sales numbers. Like, what the fuck?
Well, no, Yves Guillemot is the one who made Beyond Good and Evil. That's his baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That guy is, like, in charge of Ubisoft now?
If he's not, then he's... Oh, shoot, George is going to correct me on this. He's probably screaming right now. No! But he's either the president or he's really high up. No, wait. No, never mind. He's up there. He has clout. Wow. This is the guy who did King Kong and Rayman.
Right.
You mean Michel Ancel?
Is that who I mean? Yeah, yes. Michel... Okay. Yves Guillemot is the top brass,
then. Yes, Yves Guillemot is... the guy who's kind of their president, Michel Ancel, is responsible for pretty much all their really good creative output.
Right. Okay.
Well,
yes.
I mean,
that's what I meant.
I was more shocked that this game was going to happen at all, and I don't know. I'm still surprised they announced it and then kind of backed away from it.
Yeah, it's been in development for, you know, a while. It seems kind of weird to throw away that money, but. I guess it would have
Well, been. We don't know when they necessarily stopped development. Because remember, everyone thought we were going to see it at E3, and it didn't come. And right. Even before that, we thought we might see something at GDC. That didn't happen.
So It might have just been like, we're going to delay production. And eventually, they just said, screw it.
Right. Well, I mean, technically, it's not canceled. It's on hold.
Yeah,
so
just like StarCraft Ghost.
Well, I mean, but the thing is that, like, they have Assassin's Creed 2 coming out this holiday, which, let's face it, is going to make a shit ton of money. And if that does well enough, that may be able to help fund the development of this game to bring it back. Maybe they're holding off on it for that reason.
I don't know. I think this is joining, like I said, like the annals of Star Fox 2 and Sonic Extreme and all those other canceled games.
But I've played Star Fox 2.
Yeah, I know you played Star Fox 2. How was it?
It was like Star Fox 1, but a little better.
All right. Oh, huh. I should track that down. I never have played that. Anyway, Best Buy does not want you to take back the PlayStation 3 you bought in the last 30 days, so you can buy a PlayStation Slim and put that PS3 back on the shelves to fester. So, in an unadvertised sale, it's really more of an internal memo, if you go in with your 30-day or less old PS3 80GB with receipt... ...that to give you back your $100... and offer you a free copy of MLB 09 The Show, Killzone 2, or Infamous to prevent you from trading in.
Take MLB 09 The Show.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a pretty good deal unless you like really want a Slim for whatever reason.
It really isn't a good reason, so I would say just take your game.
So, yeah. I mean, you get a bigger hard drive, I guess, but I think it's much worth it to get $100 in a free game.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, they're still $60 AAA games, so.
Right, I mean, you said Infamous, MLB, and Killzone 2? Yeah.
Yeah.
All good games, really, so hey.
Yeah.
Okay, exclusives, so too.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever used Play On, which is a very nice media streaming program that streams to the PC, from the PC to the Xbox and PS3, it now supports the Wii. Which means with this program, for $40 on your Wii, you can watch Netflix and Hulu and CBS.com and all kinds of stuff.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
I've never used the Netflix streaming. I used to stream How I Met Your Mother off of CBS.com from my computer to it, but my computer can, like, just barely handle it, so I kind of didn't end up buying it. I wish I did. It used to be $30, and now it's $40. Oh, well. After some rumors, it would appear confirmed that the Gears of War 2 Game of the Year Edition is coming out September 1st. For $40, you get the game along with all the DLC, which is worth $20 right there, so pretty good deal.
No comment.
And no comment. Okay. Yeah. EGM, which has been brought back to life by original founder Steve Harris, hopes to be back on the newsstands by December 1st.
I wish him luck.
Yeah. I'll check it out. I miss having a
Do we even know what
I give who's on the staff for this?
Well, what'd you say, Mike?
Who's on the staff for, like, this game?
I don't think they've really said yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the older EGM guys come back. And, I don't know. Who knows? We'll find out.
All right.
Well, at least by the first issue.
Yeah. We got some more details on the Rock Band Network that is coming this fall. They've shown some more screenshots of the editor in action. The thing that you're going to get for this is exactly what Harmonix uses to make their music. They've said that before. They've estimated that for your first time as you're learning this, it's probably going to take you anywhere from 20 to 40 hours to... All four difficulty levels. So you can't just, like, release a song that is expert only. It has to be complete. One really cool thing they're going to do, though, with this marketplace is all the songs can be downloaded as free demos. You'll get either the first minute of the song or the first 35% of it, whichever is shorter. And then at the end of that time slot, a thing will pop up, and it, right from there you can either say, leave it alone, buy it, or delete it. So, that's a pretty good system for checking out people's music and stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to be pretty dedicated to get it up there.
Yeah, I mean, already, like, I think, I forget, who was it, Harmonix, or was it Neversoft? Someone was pointing out the difference between the way both games have approached it, and, Harmonix saying theirs is more robust, and Neversoft saying theirs is more accessible. And I think it's almost like that Little Big Planet thing, where we thought we'd all be making levels and whatever, but really, it's kind of been that, like, 95% of the people play it and 5% of it make content for it, so I think this more caters to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is even more technical because this beyond just having, the patience to do all this in a video game, you also have to create music.
Right. If you have the PS3 version of Ghostbusters, there was some stink a few weeks ago how, like, the texture resolution in it wasn't as good or whatever. They fixed it. It looks just as good as the 360 version. Hooray!
Whatever.
Oh, that was actually the last story. I should have made it more important.
Did
see that? We're done.
You see that Uncharted 2 can't be done on the Xbox 360?
Whoop they friggin' do. We used the entire Blu-ray.
I always like to think, we used 100% of it. Like, really? Come on.
You sure?
That just means
there's nothing.
You haven't compressed your data, and you're going to end up with more load times.
Right. It's like, yeah. So what if you had to add one more sound clip? Like, can't go in there.
Oops.
They recorded the dialogue with a lot of contractions, I heard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but the game is prone to the Y2K bug. Well, the Y3K bug, I guess.
All right, you done now?
All right, I'm done.
That's good. Oh, I guess my turn then, huh?
Yep.
All right, Great American Asgard Gaming Quiz. All right. Based on our show's history, so... these are pretty tough. You haven't done too well on these yet, Asgard.
I know. I suck at memory things.
All right. Well, hopefully you remember this one.
Okay.
Show number 20 was a spectacular-themed episode. What was it about?
Was it the end of your Final Fantasy Chronicles?
Yes. That was our Final Fantasy Spectacular. All right, that's good. Number 2. On that episode, I listed what was then my top 10 favorite Final Fantasy games. Name number 1.
It's probably 12.
Yeah, I think it is 12, actually.
For that one time, it was 10.
Damn it.
Oh, I was, lean. I was like, nah, he doesn't like 10 better than 12.
I don't anymore.
It's I know, you jerk.
But that was what I said then. All right. Number 3.
Too fickle.
I'd probably say 12 or 6 these days, yeah.
That's number five. Three.
Five four, is ten, amazing. Two. Five, yeah. Well, 5, 10, 6, 12. Those are probably the best. All right.
And I also have just like this massive soft spot for 7. But
yeah, that's more 7's of a nostalgia great. I'm, thing. Now, I'm not one of those people like, oh, 7's overrated and bad. No, 7 was great. So was 8 and 9. But pretty much, I like from 5 on, I like them all, except for like 11.
The only one that I really despise is 2. And even that, they've tried to make it more playable over time.
See, I don't even hate 2 that much. I thought 3 was kind of eh, and I also don't seem to like 4 nearly as much as everyone else.
That's because everybody else played in 99, or 91.
I guess so. All right.
So, back then, they weren't sick of, you know, biblical imagery.
Right. All right, next question. Hashka, you got your 1 for 2.
Yeah.
Number 3, what was the name of our 50th episode?
Oh, man. What was the name of the 50th episode?
You named it.
I know I did. I don't remember. There's been 99 of these.
Achievement unlocked. Question.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
No, it wasn't. Question 4. What delayed our 53rd episode?
53rd episode. What could have delayed our 50? Oh, wasn't it there like a really bad storm and you had no electricity?
Yeah, power outage. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, like no power for like 4 days. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah. All right, number 5. What was the name of the only episode of the EBP that both of us missed?
Twist.
No, more like Galo.
No.
No, it was called Twist. Yeah. You're wrong.
I have this on file.
No.
Yes.
More like Galo is the one we recorded with Pete where he was telling the Galo story.
Oh, you're right. I got this wrong.
Oh, yeah!
Shit. Wait a second. This ruins everything.
You just got owned so hard.
No. Or I'll give you 2 points.
Yes.
Get 2 points for that. I think I just looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, that was it. Because they were talking about Galo and Pete was on. Why did
I'm pretty sure they were right next to each other too, so you at least
Yeah,
had
they were close.
Excuse.
No, you're right. I was one off. Well, shoot. It is. Dang it. Remember we told them to name it Jam with the Rest.
They decided to name it Twist.
Guess. All right. Okay, here's the bonus question. What was the number of that episode?
Of which one now? Twist?
Yeah, I changed it appropriately, don't worry.
70-something.
Here's a clue. I thought it was 86.
So, 85?
Yep, there you go. You got 4 points.
I thought it was in the 80s. Because I know that one's still live.
Right. All right. Good job. Did okay.
Wait, that means I passed. Did I get a perfect score with my 2 point bonus?
Let me think. Let me add this up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you passed.
Woohoo!
With your 2 point bonus and my heavy hint at the last one. All right. Good job. All right. This is. I don't know, Davis. Do you have an idea what to do here now?
No, I have no clue. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, go.
Okay. Awkward pause.
Does this segment have a name? Should we call this Sword Guys Obscure Hour?
Sure.
Okay.
You can write it up as that. Do you have those emails handy?
I do. I'm going to just load up my last one that gave me.
Yeah, just give me a lead-in or something.
Right, you know.
This is compelling radio, everybody.
Yeah, this is
everybody
great
loves
going.
This part. I know I do. I'm having a ball.
You do now, at least.
Well, give me a couple more seconds.
Now, everybody, JoJo the monkey.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about the Fool's Errand.
Oh, yeah,
David.
It's Fool's Errand is an old Macintosh game from 1987 by a guy named Cliff Johnson. It's sort of this tarot-themed puzzle game. It's kind of like Professor Layton, to make it relevant to this week, I guess. Hmm. And basically, it's an old black-and-white game where you go around solving a bunch of puzzles that are themed into the whole, you know, idea of the tarot. So you're going and solving the strength puzzle and the sun puzzle and so on and so forth. And it all feeds into a single puzzle that as you solve each one, you get more elements that you can use to solve the world puzzle. And so you can finish it without solving everyone, but it becomes progressively easier as you explore the world. But it's just, I think it's an interesting and still holds up pretty well for, you know, 1987 puzzle game.
Yeah, that sounds pretty ambitious for a 1987 Mac game.
Yeah, by one dude.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
But, oh, and the other thing is that, well, two other things. One is that you can download it for free from Cliff Johnson's website, and I still recommend it. And the other thing is that, well, no, now that I think of it, two other things. The other thing is that it still has, it came with like a decoder ring or something. Like those old, it came with a code wheel.
Oh, the old forms of DRM.
Yeah, and it still has that code wheel thing in it. But it'll just, you know, automatically accept whatever you type in. But it's a little bit of nostalgia. And the other thing is that Cliff Johnson is also working on a sequel called A Fool and His Money, which will be released maybe sometime this year.
All right. So.
Okay, that's it.
All right, well, then tell me about Sweet Home.
Sweet Home is sort of like the precursor to Resident Evil. It's a Famicom game that never came out here. Probably because it was too gory. But it's like, how to describe it? It's a survival horror RPG. So rather than, you know, having bullshit controls, action games, that was a bit harder to do on the NES when you weren't trying to move around in 3D space. So basically you're moving around. It's like Dragon Quest. It takes place in a haunted mansion. And you've got four party members. You're trying to, I think you're trying to get these like tapestries or, paintings out that are worth something. And, basically it's very primitive. It's very Dragon Warrior-ish, but, with a bunch of, you know, like zombies and bloody worms and stuff that try and kill you. It's hard to describe what's really unique about it other than the atmosphere. But
all right, we'll move.
It manages to come off as fairly creepy for a Famicom game.
All right, Muchi Muchi Pork.
Okay.
What the heck is Muchi Muchi Pork? Is it like Munchy Munchy Pork? Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever describe it as delicious, but Muchi Muchi Pork I mostly put on here as a joke. It's a vertical shooter where you play as fat chicks on a bicycle. Basically, it's
okay.
A combination of the Japanese weird obsession with making kind of parody shooters like Parodius or whatever. And a disturbing later trend of fetishism in games. So, yeah, this one I mostly thought of because whenever I wrote this, Fat Princess had just come out. And Fat Princess I didn't think of as very, you know, some people were getting offended over it, and I didn't think it was that bad just because it didn't actually go out of its way to mock the obese. This, on the other hand, is sort of like an extended fat joke that, or a fat chick joke that you have to like pop quarters into every 5 minutes.
Man, that sounds fantastic.
And you grab like your little power ups that are tasty snacks, so you can fill up your pork meter.
Oh, good.
And instead of leveling up, you lard up. So, if somebody were offended by this, I could actually understand. So yeah.
All right. Tell me about Pooley Roloff.
Oh,
they only get better, don't they?
Oh yeah, Pooley Roloff's great. It's basically imagine Final Fight with like these 19 or not 19, these, like, Victorian England-era children, and, except the entire game is some, like, fucked up psychosexual nightmare. So, basically, you're, like, hitting these weird FMV things with your magic wand and turning them into animals that'll run into you and give you 100 points. But the entire thing is bizarre. By the time you get to the second level, I sent you a video. It's the first link in that thing, and you need to see it because it's got, like, a woman hanging on a flagpole moving back and forth rapidly. And the most famous scene in the game is shortly after that is you're walking through this level and you see a building with three doors, and out of the two end doors are a pair of women's legs, and you go to the middle door and you smack it with your magic wand and it opens up and there's a picture of the universe inside, and like a pink elephant flies out. So it's all somewhat incredibly disturbing.
Where do you even learn about these things? Like, where do you hear about these games? There's, like, just some message board for really weird games with ladies' legs popping out of castles.
There's a lot of sources, but, like, if you really want to know about some of these, I would recommend going to stuff like Hardcore Gaming 101, which is a site dedicated mostly to games you've never heard of. So that's where you can learn more about Puli Rula, and they have a bunch of screenshots of later levels of the game where the entire level is covered in pictures of eyeballs.
Huh.
All right. Tell me about Zombie Nation.
Zombie Nation. Zombie Nation is an NES horizontal shooter where you play as a floating zombie head. I mostly just put it on there because I'm not sure how it managed to get localized, especially back in the day when Nintendo's policies on gore were incredibly tight. But apparently somebody said it has a story on Wikipedia, but I could not possibly figure out why you're a giant zombie head flying around in America trying to shoot the Statue of Liberty down.
Oh my god, this is the best game ever!
Yeah, you're like a terrorist zombie head.
Yeah, you are like a terrorist zombie head now that I think about it. Yes.
Jeez. Wow. Alright, tell me about Mendel Palace.
Okay. There's not much to say about that other than it's by Game Freak. It's, you know, just...
Oh, the Pokemon
Yeah, it's
guys.
Just a really good puzzle game. And apparently Ken Sugimori and Satoshi Tajiri, the guys who made Pokemon, just, like, bought off, like, some random dude on Akihabara. They just bought a Famicom development system that they didn't even know if it would work or whatever. So it was, like, this thing held together with duct tape that they programmed their first game on.
It's a nice little rags-to-riches story.
All right. And I think we'll finish off this installment with Rem.
Yeah, Rem... I think, actually, you would like AJ, just because it is very, very mist-like. It's got this kind of surreal atmosphere, but you're moving around from static images. You know, it's a bit higher res. It looks a lot nicer because it was made in 2003. But it's pretty much almost exactly like Mist in that, you know, there's not a whole lot of story. It takes... you know, a backseat for things like atmosphere and the setting. But there are like two or three lines of dialogue from a guy who's saying, you must solve puzzles to escape the Rem Island. And yeah, it's just a really, really good it's a Mist-like puzzle game. And then they made a couple sequels. I've only played the second one a little bit, and I have not played the third one, but they're supposed to be good. Oh, and also, it's really hard. Not in, like, the obtuse sense, but more in the sense of this involves a lot of math in exploring the island.
I remember playing Myst 3 Exile and having to use stuff I learned in my physics class the week prior to solve a puzzle.
Yeah, I love it when that happens because it's like the only time my physics class came in use.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's why I have to learn this stuff, so I can play video games.
See, I didn't take physics, so I didn't play mystery.
Yeah, I know, I was thinking that, too. I was like, boy, how would someone else... I'm sure there was actually a simpler way of doing it, and I was overthinking it, but I was like, I know how this works in physics. It worked!
No, this is really great, is whenever you can actually, you know, apply something that you've learned to a video game. Which is pretty rare, but at the very least, my Latin classes have helped me with any kind of quiz in a game.
All right, I think that was very educational.
I do want to do one more thing, though.
Yes.
Because you missed it for All every right, last podcast, and you failed to redeem yourself. Is that
Shin
Megami Tensei Strange Journey? It's down there. It was only recently announced. Like, August.
Oh, right. That's right, you like sent me something like Strange Journey is the story of the year. I'm like, what's Strange Journey?
God damn it. People.
I was like, what is
Get
he talking about?
Get your priorities straight. God.
I guess so. I still have to finish Persona 4.
Yeah, whatever. This is basically like everybody who was really important to making Nocturne is returning to make this game. So basically it's like...
Oh, you love Nocturne.
And it's even being written by the guy who wrote Nocturne, so I'm fairly excited for that. Also, it has this, just from what I've seen, it has a lot of interesting ideas. Like, the new battle system that they're incorporating is based entirely on co-op. So you have to do moves that depend on both your demons, yourself, and your other human companions being alive. So it's almost like it's almost like Chrono Trigger-ish, just from what I've read. But, oh, and also, there's not a person under 20 to be found in the game. It's massive, it's crazy new territory for JRPGs. there is not a single child in this game. So, that's another reason I'm excited for it. Oh, and also, there's, like, a black dude, a Mexican dude, and a Russian chick in your party. So it's not just, like, a bunch of...
Ooh, they're really bridging
out. So it's not just, like, a bunch of European guys. As happens in many other JRPGs. Yeah.
All right.
So, it looks cool.
A brave new world,
also,
indeed.
Also, the art direction has this, like, Jules Verne aesthetic to it. It looks sort of like Journey to the Center of the Earth stuff. Yeah, it's, like, really old school.
That
sounds
really
old school sci-fi look.
All right, let me double check. What's the name of this
Shin
one
Megami
now?
Tensei, Strange Journey. It's for the DS. Oh, and
Strange
it's a first-person
Journey.
Dungeon crawler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, I'm super excited.
First, I thought they didn't make those anymore.
Well, now they do. Thanks.
Isn't that like Ultima 1?
Yeah, well, you know, Etrian Odyssey for DS was a really good first-person dungeon crawler. And I think this is using that engine.
All right.
So...
Oh, cool.
It's going to be very cool. I guarantee it. Unless it's not.
Oh, you heard that, folks.
Oh, man.
He guarantees
your
money,
get back,
your money back if you
me,
don't like it.
Because, you know, I have a lot of money to give you.
See? There, he's not being sarcastic, everybody, I promise.
All right. Thanks for that, Dave. I feel like you have some stock in the company or something, the way...
Well, I think I posted on Twitter not too long ago that I'm an Atlas spam bot, so...
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, all right. Well, let's talk about our weekend gaming. AJ, I know you probably want to talk about Batman, so I'll let you go.
Batman is so good. Oh my god. We're looking at early contender for at least one of the top games of the year. I knew this game would probably be pretty good. Like, I had to play that combat demo a few months ago, and like all the early buzz about it had been really good. But oh my god, this game is good.
It's surprisingly kind of deep and very well made, isn't it?
It's remarkable. The production values in this thing are
You know what? Whenever a game has like that kind of moment where it's like you're just walking along while cool things happen in the very beginning, like basically like the kind of thing that Half-Life 1 made popular.
It reminds me actually a lot of Bioshock.
I always like that. Right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, even the developers are saying, like, that was kind of one of their inspirations, where they strive to make Arkham Asylum just as important a character as anybody else in the game, and they totally do. The architecture in this game is
Although
astounding.
I always wonder why they
the environments you explore are very cool.
Statues in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it's now we know. I was wondering, like, man, good thing we got these gargoyles to latch onto mm-hmm. constantly. But, yeah, I mean, the combat works amazingly well.
Well, you see some of the people like, oh, it's just like one button with a counter button, but fuck it. I think I tweeted this. I there was a particular sequence where I got into the lobby of one of the buildings. There were literally 20 guys down below me. And, like, I batarang'd one, I glide-kicked into another, landed in the middle of them, and just started brawling. And, like, for that particular combat sequence, I was, like, in the zone. I didn't get hit once. I got the 20-hit combo trophy and everything. Right. And, like, by the time I was done, and all these guys just laid passed on the ground, I just fist-pumped in the air and shouted, fuck yeah! Like, it was amazing.
For a game, really, that its focus isn't on combat. So,
no.
To have a really good combat system is great. I like how they really do work in all the facets of being Batman. You have all the gadgets, you have, like, the detective stuff going on, and all of the sort of scare tactics, and the, you know, martial artist
stuff.
And your
bat senses.
Well, then, I can't
Yes,
yes.
Of course.
I can't remember, someone said this on Twitter. It might have been who was it? Maybe this was you, Dave. I forget who said it. Someone said, like, what this game really nails is that sense of, like, leaping out of the shadows
that
onto
was,
these guys.
That was
who said
Captain
that?
Carnage.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Okay, yeah. And he's absolutely right. Like, when you jump out of the shadows and, like, next to these guys, and they're like, oh, crap, he's here! And, like, they start freaking out. You're like, it's the first time, really, in a game in a long time, or I can't even think of, where I've had the sense that I'm the guy doing the scaring, you know? Usually, when you play a game like this with this kind of atmosphere, you're waiting for shit to jump out and scare you. And it does happen in this game with sort of later on as you encounter these different kinds of enemies. But if you're walking around detective mode like you usually are, you could see them. But, like, you know, you just get that, you really do get that sense that you're the predator. It's really, really great.
It's a very
it just captures that sort of feel. Right? It just sort of really captures that feel of that one scene from Batman Begins where it's like the first time he's, like, just attacking a group of people and he's just constantly grabbing them from seemingly out of nowhere and all
yeah,
the other
like
people
one
freaking
at a time.
Out. Right, and it's just, you know, you get those quips from the people below as you're attacking them, like, I can't see him anymore, where is he? You know, all that stuff, which is just great.
And seriously, I didn't realize just how much of really a Metroidvania this game is, which is kind of bad because as I noted when I was playing last night, like, there's no good place to stop. You just want to keep playing. When it's like 2 in the morning, I have to wake up for work in 6 hours. And I'm like, ah, oh, jeez. The only reason I stopped last night is because my controller died.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, the flow of the game is just astounding. And it's also really cool. It does a really good job of keeping itself interesting as you go. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, like, do, like, you know, like the combat fatigue that Val always talks about. It avoids that really well. You're constantly mixing up what you're doing.
There's a good voice acting.
Oh, can we say Mark Hamill gets, like, the voice acting
award
cheating, for the
though,
year?
Because he's, like,
already
one of the better voice actors in the entire industry.
Well, that's okay. Fine. He's good at it.
I just watched Castle in the Sky for the first time the other day.
Oh, good job.
And then, like, at the end, yeah, thank you. It was great. But I didn't even notice that was Mark Hamill doing the bad guy in that till the very end with the credits. I'm like, oh, yeah, that pretty was pretty much Mark Hamill's Joker voice.
By the way, when you were watching that, did you say, man, so many video games have ripped this off back and forth.
Oh yeah. Like I'm watching it, thinking like, so that's where everything came from.
There's even like a scene.
This movie came out in like 86.
Yeah. And there's like, whenever I was watching it, I'm like, wow, that's even like Devil May Cry 3 that ripped it off artistically in that one scene with all the blocks crumbling from the bottom of the castle. There's this one area in Devil May Cry 3 that looks exactly like that. So.
No, like that's where, like, that movie is, like, where every, like Japanese RPG gets its, like, sort of weird blend of sort of fantasy, but with, like, kind of steampunk inspiration.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's, like, all
and
from
then,
that movie.
And then, after that, it's all it's, like, Evangelion.
Right.
Seen Evangelion?
Wait, say that again. You went out for a second there.
It all becomes Evangelion.
Was it you who put that congratulations link up today? Oh my god, I feel stupider for having seen that.
Wait, what was that now?
I'll show you the link later.
Have either of you seen any of Neon Genesis Evangelion?
No, I never watched
just that probably, clip.
It's one of those things that even if you don't like it, you should probably watch just to know that it's, along with Castle in the Sky, is probably one of the biggest influences on Japanese RPGs.
Isn't that pretty much where, like, all sci-fi Japanese RPGs
pretty
get
much.
Their
like,
stuff
FF7
from?
Like, FF7 was... You remember when Cloud was stuck in his little life stream coma or whatever? Is basically like episode right. 25 and 26 of Evangelion, where he's sitting in the chair with the spotlight on him, mumbling on about nonsense.
Oh,
yeah,
very
it's,
nice.
Yeah, it's also Hidenori Anno's giant mental breakdown and couch trip chronicled and animated for you.
Okay.
That's always nice.
Anyway, yes. Back to Batman. One of the things that they do really well in this game is the Riddler challenges.
Yeah, those
which,
are always fun. They're
which
they're like the
take
fun.
Up at least it takes up at least a third of my playtime. They're really fun. Like, I mean, in any other game, they'd just be like these collectible MacGuffins that you're annoyed that you want, like you have to go get. But I like for whatever reason feel motivated
so
to go get these.
I've only played like about an hour of this game on somebody else's PS3. What are the Riddler challenges?
Okay, so. You know that room in the, from the demo that everyone was high on where it's like the six gargoyles, yep. You take them out. And after that, the Riddler hacks into Batman's comm and then just explains that he's hidden all these like puzzles and stuff around Arkham and his because he's trying to test Batman's mental acuity mm-hmm. and everything. So it comes in a bunch of different forms. For one, there are just Riddler trophies that are just hidden in the obscure places throughout the asylum. They're just like collectibles. Then you get like things for destroying those little clattering teeth that the Joker leaves around, but then most of them are what they are is he's like you'll get actual riddles, and you have to like find the solution to this riddle in the environment and then scan it with your detective scanner.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but so yeah, it's really cool, and also part of that is These what are they called? You're finding like these like stones that are like left by the spirit of Arkham, who like is basically telling you like it's like the guy who founded Arkham Asylum and his descent into madness, and it's like being narrated to you bit by bit as you find these things. It sounds a lot like Peter O'Toole doing the voice. Actually, I need to find that out. They also have scattered all throughout the asylum audio recordings of psychiatric sessions with all the villains.
Very BioShock.
Those are awesome. Yeah, and they're mm-hmm. awesome. They're so cool. And a lot of these clues and stuff is where you get kind of homages to other villains who aren't in the game. Like there's like a Catwoman Easter egg and a Penguin Easter egg and all this. And also, I there's so much I want to talk about, but I really don't want to ruin it for anybody.
I will say
so
that I thought the Scarecrow stuff was really sweet.
You ruined it.
I
wasn't even going to bring him up.
That's,
okay,
that's great. He showed up. He's yes, there. Okay. Well, you don't have to go into it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. I was just kidding. There's Scarecrow stuff in this game, and it's friggin' brilliant. And Mike, you're going to get to the point that I did last night. You're going to like call me when it happens. I promise you, because it's just so friggin' cool.
Wait, there's more than one thing?
Maybe.
Oh, sweet.
I know. No, it was cool because like you know we thought like we'd seen so much of this game before it came out because they basically like released a million trailers for it, and we still didn't even like know the Scarecrow was going to be in it, and you know there's still actually a lot of surprises left to the game, which is shocking in a lot of ways for all the marketing they've done. And then I haven't even done any of the challenges yet. I got the PS3 version. I still have access to the Joker challenges.
Oh,
I haven't
got
done
the
those
PS3
yet.
Version.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
The temptation
I
of
did.
The Joker was just too much.
Well, it's that, and also it'll play in just any Blu-ray player, including the PS3, where they have all the trailers and high def and developer interviews. Which that's what Sony really needs to go after more companies to do that will make the PS3 version more attractive. Is put that stuff on there. You have all this space. Why the hell not?
But well, that's good. Then at least I can play the Joker things on yours at some point. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
All right. We got on Batman for now.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll gush more about it again next week after I do something else. I anticipate beating it this weekend, so.
I got my PSP Dissidia bundle.
Oh, good.
I have a broken. I have a dead pixel, though, which annoys me.
Yeah, well, get it swapped in.
I don't want to go through that trouble. Plus, I don't think they have any more.
He's too busy playing Dissidia.
Well, just, no, people have, like, you could go look at YouTube videos on your PSP that'll, like, blink the screen with every color, and that usually unstucks it.
Yeah, it stuck red.
Yeah, do what I just told you. It should work.
Okay, I hope so. Because, yeah, that's annoying. But, anyways, to the city. I've been playing it a lot. Just going through the story mode kind of thing. Like, the story modes, they're pretty silly. It's just like, oh, and all the Final Fantasy heroes are together, and they're all have to go get their crystal, and they all have to, you know, go inside there and discover their true selves. And, you know, typical BS like that. Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But the actual gameplay, and I talked about before the demo, it's so unlike a typical fighting game, and it really does allow for, like, RPG sort of customization with just your stats and, like, even, like, item crafting, things like that, and you get to decide which abilities you want to equip and stuff like that, and you get new abilities by leveling up. And the way you kind of go through story mode, it's like this sort of chessboard kind of thing. It's hard to explain. But it works really well because you're probably, since there's no online play, you're not really going to be playing this game against very many other humans. So it works really well that it's a game that works better almost playing it with computer opponents. So it just all goes better there. The voice acting, it's like okay. It's weird though because they got the original Ject back, and they got, like, you know, the Cloud and Sephiroth from Advent Children. I'm assuming it's the Final Fantasy IV guys who recently did the DS remake, but they didn't get the guy who did Tidus.
Really? James Arnold Taylor?
Yeah.
Is he too busy being Obi-Wan?
I guess so. We saw him at that one Star Wars.
I mean, it's not like he's not a working voice actor right now.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not him. It kind of annoys me.
Is it, like, really different?
It's different enough. It's like, basically, they're like, we just need somebody else who kind of has a high-pitched voice.
He's incredibly
energetic. Yeah. Also, just there's just these little things like Zidane. I guess it's actually Zidane. I don't know what the hell that E is.
Not
there
really?
For. Yeah, Zidane. If it's Zidane, why is there an E?
Zidane. I trace that back to the Japanese using too many English words and not knowing how to pronounce any of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I'm still not high on Tidus as opposed to Titus.
Well,
Titus, like the tides.
Well, to be fair, that's how you pronounce it in the Latin sense.
But Latin's
no, there's that Latin again.
Shut up. I spent a lot of time studying Latin, okay?
All right, whatever.
Don't invalidate
my
choices.
But no, I really am. Yeah. But I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of little neat touches. Like, all the tutorials are, like, kind of narrated by, like, the supporting cast Final Fantasy characters. And they're just kind of being silly and ridiculous.
Hey, quick aside.
Yeah.
According to IMDb, it is James Arnold Taylor.
No, it's not. I bet someone just assumed it was. I'm telling you, it's not him.
I'm just saying.
I'm telling you that whoever made the IMDb page just assumed. There's no way it's him.
Okay.
I'm kind of... Now, really? IMDb really says that.
Yes, it does.
There's no way it's him. Just go find a YouTube video of his voice or something. It sounds nothing like him.
Okay.
Just no way. Ugh, now I need verification of this. But, no, I've been enjoying it a lot. I've been playing it a lot, and I guess I'll stop there.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I beat Shadow Complex.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
actually,
I forgot about Shadow Complex.
I should say I accidentally beat it.
You're one of those people, huh?
You accidentally beat it too early?
Yeah, no, it was entirely my intention to find all the items before I... Because you find this chamber that seems very clearly like... This is where the final boss is going to be, but you have to find all the pass keys to open these energy gates.
No, that's
so like, oh...
I always assumed that was just where some item was.
Well, it must be, because I was just walking by a lake, and I was, like, just trying to find a shortcut to get to where I wanted to go next, and next thing I knew, I was fighting the final boss. Which was a really cool fight, actually. Yeah. I liked it.
Man, I kind of forgot about Shadow Complex. I have to still finish that.
But yeah, that game's really great, and I do still plan on going back and finding all the items and everything, but I like it very much.
The only problem is...
Dave, anything you want to talk about? What's your problem?
I don't know. It just seems like there's something missing. Like, I don't know. It just has something missing from that Metroid formula. Is that...
Did you turn off the blue line?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I guess if you just want it to be exactly like a Metroid thing, the thing it's missing is that sense of isolation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but the fact that there's talking.
But, I mean, if you...
Let's discuss
you know,
plot-relevant details.
Right.
It's like, let's not.
Should say, like, hey, they caught some guy smoking meth in the bathroom. We installed extra security there. That'll give you hints around here, hints about the game without being too obtrusive.
But what else you played?
Well, I played the Police Knots translation, which is, right. I have to say, for a fan translation, it's pretty excellent. Like,
what is it? How exactly does that game even play?
It's
like?
An adventure.
Is it like...
It's like a way old school adventure game. You have a mouse, you have verb options. So, except, you know, whenever you click something, it brings up the verbs rather than having to go to, down to a menu every time. But, so it's a little bit more friendly for console.
Isn't there a character who's named Meryl in the game that pretty much just
yes.
looks like Meryl?
In fact, I just finished talking to her before we were re-recorded this. Yeah, it's full of those little Kojima tics, especially the ones that you'd see before Metal Gear Solid 2, whenever he, you know, was then chained to the Metal Gear Solid franchise forever.
Now this is just subtitles, right? And then, like, revoice it or anything crazy?
Which, I mean, it would have been nice, but I that would be a crazy call above and... or be in crazily above and beyond the Call of Duty for these guys who are just, like, hacking this in their spare time.
I feel like that should be phase two. They have the script. Let's do
the
it.
The other problem is that there's a lot of voice acting for anime cutscenes, so they have to make it match the lip flaps, which... Yeah, maybe, I don't know, it just doesn't work so much for the Japanese voice acting because they have such different inflection.
Well, I read somewhere that was one of the original reasons why they didn't do the translation, was that it was just too difficult.
Yeah, it also has, you know, it was very early PlayStation, so Sony had a lot of restrictions back then that they later eased up on in, like, 97, whenever Final Fantasy VII was released. But, you know, at first they were like, no, we can't have RPGs on our system. So they tried to block a lot of that stuff. So, and then somewhere I read that it was also blocked because it had smoking in it. But I kind of don't. Yeah, I kind of don't
know.
But yeah, but it's really good. It has very much like the Snatcher has. It was basically a Blade Runner game that Kojima had just watched Blade Runner, and his team was like a big fan of it. And so they're like, we're going to make our own Blade Runner game. It's going to be great. Huh. And it ended up being like Blade Runner, Terminator, Bubblegum Crisis mix thing. And but, you know, that was also really good. It had its own original points, but it was very Blade Runner to the point where, you know, the main character was wearing Deckard's coat. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I like Blade Runner.
And Snatcher is really good and worth playing if you have the means to play it.
Snatcher?
The Blade Runner ripoff. Yeah, that's the Sega CD game.
I've heard
but,
of that.
But this one is much more like sci-fi Lethal Weapon. It's hard to describe, but basically you have Riggs and Murtaugh. Mel Gibson has blue hair, but other than that, they look pretty much the same. And... basically, you're playing as a guy named John Ingram, and you were part of a an elite team of policemen who were called into space. That's why you're Police Knots, which I'm sure sounds way less goofy in Japanese, but my God, does that sound goofy? Basically, something went wrong. You had to go into cryogenic sleep for, like, 25 years. So, after that, you're pretty much stuck on Earth while everybody else is immigrating toward, you know, outer space colonies. And you're working as a private eye, mostly as a negotiator, to help ransom deals. So you can help save kids before they get their organs ripped out and sold on the black market.
Well, oh, my.
That's the explanation they use, so... And suddenly your wife comes in, who looks old enough to be your mother.
That's
and,
awkward.
You know, while you were frozen in cryogenic stasis, she went off and married another guy, you know, moved out to space and all that. And she comes into your office and says, hey, you need to help me find my new husband. No hard feelings. And so you send her out and say, you know, I'll think about it, like any good hard-boiled detective would. And then, of course, you see somebody across the street. He has a switch in his hand, and he detonates a car bomb that kills your wife. So you have to run after him, and so after that, you decide to go to space and investigate her husband's disappearance because you figure it has something to do with that, and that's about where I am now. So it's...
Oh, wow.
I mean, it does have shades of other movies and particularly Lethal Weapon, but to be fair to it, it has also this, you know, it has a lot of originality, very hard sci-fi vibe going on. And it has a lot of that, like I said, pre-MGS2 personality that certain later Kojima games like Lunar Nights and MGS4 kind of lack.
I agree.
That was incredibly timely. You got back right as I finished talking about Police Nuts.
Oh. Well, there you go then. Well, yes. Then, shall we move on?
Dave, did you play anything else?
Professor Layden.
Oh, ooh, I want that. I want it. Is it a lot like Professor Layden?
No, it's totally... Yeah, it's the same thing.
No. I was about to say,
you
really?
You have a hamster now. You have a pet hamster. You can lead him around your playpen because he's morbidly obese. But,
Sweet.
And that is literally a point that, you get a morbidly obese hamster who you have to exercise. But,
does the girl you rescued in the first game, like, still, like, hang around
Hey,
with
spoilers!
You? Oh, come on, you didn't beat Professor Layton.
No, Chris stole my copy of it, I still know where it is.
Answer the question, Dave.
So just plug your ears real quick, AJ. Yeah, she comes back a little bit through, you know, at first it's just you and the professor, and then it kind of, around chapter one-ish, you know, once you get past the introductory chapter, in the middle of chapter one, they say, oh, and yeah, she's hiding, like, right next to you the entire time, and if you couldn't figure it out, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, except that there are more sliding block puzzles, which suck. Other than that, it's really
good. I'm good at them. I want it. I have to say, all right then, cool. All right, you have releases, AJ?
Indeed. Off we go to the Nintendo downloads. On the WiiWare, Mr. Driller W.
Okay.
The Virtual Console, Super Empire Strikes Back. And on DSi, Pop Plus Solo. I presume you pop bubbles.
Okay.
Xbox Live Arcade, Watchmen, The End Is Nigh, Part 2. And everyone's getting high on this game. Invincible Tiger, The Legend of Han Tao.
I've not heard anything about this game.
I hadn't either, but now that it's out, I keep seeing things about it popping up. Apparently its soundtrack is free, so this is supposed to be exciting.
What it is?
It looked like a 2.5D kind of fighting, running, like a platformer brawling kind of thing. I don't know. I'm trying to think what it, like, right, almost like a shinobi. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't actually tried it yet. We got some new games on demand for the 360. They're all, you know, inferior. You got Burnout Revenge. I don't know why you would buy that and not Burnout Paradise. Need for Speed Pro Streets and FIFA 09.
I thought you meant, like, maybe, like... I'm trying to think of a game that's had a sequel on 360 that you might, like... I don't know, somebody might theoretically care about story continuity. But why would you release, like...
Oh.
That baffles me. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
They still haven't released the PSN releases for today yet. Although I think Invincible Tiger's coming on that too, but don't quote me on that. And, on good old games, Heroes of Might and Magic 3, Complete Edition.
As opposed to all those incomplete editions.
Right. That's right.
All right, you ready for me to go?
Yeah, go.
Batman Arkham Asylum came out for PS3 and Xbox 360.
Woo!
9.0 on GameSpot. I can't imagine how you can give this game an 8, unless, like, it really messes up the ending.
I hope it doesn't, because I like it a lot.
But when I see 8s, I'm like, what? How is it an 8 so far?
Because it's not, like, an established GTA.
I guess not. Yeah, exactly. Like, when a game seems this well-made, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, let's explore what you just said. How does this game get, like, 8s with, like, all these niggling things about combat not being the greatest, but then, like, GTA gets 10s?
I don't know. It continues. I don't know why Dead Space.
It's one of those.
I don't know what Dead Space
is. It's just one of those things where people have expectations and have a certain mindset going into games, I guess.
But, I mean, all right. Don't cry for Batman, because it overall has been doing very well critically.
Yay.
Dissidia, Final Fantasy, PSP, Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box, DS. I hate the way they bastardized the box art for this game.
So oh, what would they do to it?
It's diabolical. Kind
of, they added like this really lame kind of bar on the bottom of it. It's like basically so like people know that the game's like, you know, brain teasers, because otherwise it's just like, what the hell is
this? It's 250 puzzles. And they have screenshots of those puzzles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great.
It's kind of, it's just tacky, and it basically
I'm
just
surprised they didn't have it in
looks
two
like it's
languages.
Completely covering up the art. I really hope we get that movie over here. I know it's unlikely, but that'd just be great. Retroid Prime.
And translation.
Yeah. Probably inevitably turn to fan subs.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be subbed, but I'd like a dubbed version, because I like the English voice cast for the game. Especially the Professor Layton voice.
You really like Luke?
Metroid.
Oh, Professor! Oh,
I mean, whatever.
What else do you expect from that character?
Maybe net.
Professor.
He sounds like he's been kicked in the nuts every time he talks.
Versus, maybe it is a bit much, but anyways, Metroid Prime Trilogy for the Wii. Crime.
This again. I want to get that, but it's just there's too much other stuff coming out already. Like this needed to come out 3 months ago, and there's nothing else to play.
That's right? Yeah, I definitely
I've been
plan
spending
on getting
all my
that.
Freaking
but...
money on college stuff.
Yeah, this really should have been a June release.
Crimecraft PC. Raven Squad. Oh, Raven.
I think that's Raven
Shut
Squad.
Shut up. Operation Hidden Dagger. PC and 360. What the hell is this?
A mix of first-person shooter and real-time strategy, so you know it's good.
I bet it's great. Cursed Mountain for the Wii. Another Fallout 3 game add-on pack. This one, Broken Steel and Point Lookout.
Wait,
what?
Cursed Mountain. Wasn't that that I desperately wish I were Silent Hill survival horror game for Wii?
If it looks like it. Got a 7.5, so I guess it's not terrible.
Yeah. I'm sure I can find someone else who's more adventurous than I am to try that out.
NBA 2K10 Draft Combined 360. Sounds like DLC that sounds similar to content that...
Oh, I forgot to write that down. No, it's like... It's an XBLA game. Shoot, I forgot to type that up.
It sounds basically like...
I think it's like... It's like a quasi-standalone thing where you make... It's like the create a character mode, basically.
Yeah, if this was MLB 09 to show, it would just be with the game.
Yeah.
Warriors Orochi 2 for the PSP. Mana Kamiya 2. Yeah. Fall of Alchemy. No,
that said Fall of Alchemy.
Fall of
Whatever,
Alchemy.
It's going to be bland.
It's falling. Harvest Moon, Frantic Farming for the DS. Oh, good. More.
Yeah, is there really that much of demand for Harvest Moon? That, like, there's
a
new one every 3 months. I know, exactly.
Nobody gives a crap in America, but in Japan, they have that whole Sims crowd. Like, they have old ladies and women playing Harvest Moon.
But, like, why is it that, like, when it comes to Harvest Moon, it's like, yeah, we'll localize every single one of them no matter what. But, like, some other games, it's always, like, much more iffy. I don't know, maybe I'll get one. I haven't had one in a while.
Play
that,
fine.
Maybe I'll get this one.
You can play that, what was it, not the futuristic one. That one, according to the internet,
a
was
puzzle
crap.
Game.
No, not the puzzle game. They had a puzzle game.
Yeah, there's a Harvest Moon.
Whatever.
Game.
The RPG
not
one.
So long ago.
Where it was called Ruin Factory, Magical Harvest Moon.
Oh, yeah,
that was
supposed
to be pretty good.
Wizards of Waverly Place, DSW. It's based off some Disney Channel show.
Great.
All right. Yeah, I'm done there. All right. That brings us to the end of the show, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find out more about us at www.squadronofshame.com and explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
Quick announcement. I posted this on Twitter. But hi, everyone who's listening. If you've ever been on this show, and even if you haven't, why the hell not, go to explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. There is an article posted there. For our 100th episode, we want you to be a part of it. Haha. So, I've set up a handy little widget on my Blogspot blog, because WordPress won't let me post it. But if you click that, enter your phone number, this thing will call you and then connect you to my Google Voice inbox, which I've set up to receive audio snippets of your favorite EBP memories. Just click that, say your name, leave a thought or two, And we'll stick them throughout the show next week.
Say congratulations.
It's gonna be great.
We'll say congratulations and splice them all together.
We'll recreate the Evangelion video.
You can sit in the chair and then decide that you're only going to do what you want to do later.
Alright, you'll have to send me that later. Anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Alright, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on our 100th episode of the Exploding Barrel Podcast.